and welcome to Series 2.
Or Season 2.
Whatever the hell you want to call it.
Season 28. Yeah, right.
Hey, look, it took us how many episodes on this set before you had to listen to us again? Five?
Something like that, yeah. This is actually the first commentary we are recording for any of Season 2 or Series 2 or...
Season 28.
Yeah.
And we have picked...
Rise of the Cybermen.
Yes, we lost a bet. So, no, really, I love it. Okay, I'm sorry.
And here's John Lumick.
You know, I've only seen this one, like, twice.
Yeah, me too. So, and there's a reason for that.
So if we suddenly turn into a Hartnell commentary, you'll understand why. Oh, wait! We haven't introduced ourselves for this season.
Oh, yeah. I'm Michael.
And I'm Sarah.
No.
And we're two insane fans.
Yeah, we really are, aren't we? Golly.
Yeah, we chose to do this. We chose to do Rise of the Cybermen.
We did. Mostly because we thought we could tear it apart in an amusing and fun way.
So you let us know in 90 minutes how that works out for you.
Yes, from beyond the grave. Even though he probably hasn't said that yet.
Yeah.
But John Lumick is quite the guy here. Yeah. He's really stretching for the most insane scientist type guy ever award.
I think Davros has won that one hands down every other year, though.
Has he?
Davros really wasn't in competition this year. I think he withdrew his name.
Yeah. Well, that was after the...
After he was Adam.
Well, I'm saying the big scandal where, Adam was revealed to not be him, so...
What?
He had to pull his name out of the running. Oh! The Cybermen are getting one. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Did you know they were Cybermen? I'm not supposed to tell you because Graham Harper keeps them in, like, shadow for 40 minutes.
But, yes. Even though it's called Rise of the Cybermen. This is kind of like those old Dalek stories where, like, it was like, Destiny of the Daleks! And you're like, ooh, the Daleks are going to be here. And then they don't show up until the end of episode one.
Yeah. I particularly like Revelation of the Daleks, which I watched recently, where they just don't even care.
Yeah.
It's like the first shot of a Dalek is like, la 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 la, Dalek coming by. Well, oh, look, hello, kids. Oh,
now, okay. Someone told me that the secret of the opening credits is...
Oh, it's David Tennant's name now.
Hooray! Oh, I'm sorry, I was channeling a little Russell T. Davies.
Hooray!
We have to do the insane golf clap.
Sorry, the secret of the credits.
God. Depending on what color it is, that's what if they're going forward or backward in time.
Right, it's the same thing with Eccleston's sweater.
Oh, I didn't know the sweater.
Yeah, when he's in the past, he wears a blue sweater. When he's in the future, he wears a red sweater. And when he's in the present, he wears a green one.
Oh.
And I'm really... horrified that I know that.
You've watched Eccleston a lot, haven't you?
Yeah. Just a bit. I made the big mistake last year of watching every single one of those episodes about 5 times.
You watched Boomtown 5 times?
I like Boomtown.
You watched Boomtown 5 times?
It's actually one of probably my more preferred episodes of the year.
You watched Boomtown 5 times? No, I just don't like Boomtown. We should have done a commentary on that one. Because God knows we didn't do enough last year.
Wait, there's actually a pretty good commentary on Boomtown. I'm in it, but that's not why it's good. My friend Ian's on it, too.
Okay.
It's pretty good. But, anyway, green. The color for aliens is green, as Ian would say right here.
We should talk about things that are happening on screen.
And, that's a good special effect. And, the effects are actually better this year. The effects are much better this year. They're less fairy tale.
Well, I think season 2 overall had better... Because, they didn't have to spend as much money on the TARDIS set. It was already built.
Right. Right.
So maybe next year we'll see something more than the console room.
We're supposed to, as I understand it. But, the effects are better this year. They've dropped the ProMist filter thing that made everything look sort of oddly soft porn last year. That really special look everything had that my friend Carrie Ann commented the other day made it look really European and interesting. And I'm like, no, it just makes it look cheap.
All right, so I'm going to try this year not to give away spoilers for the end of the season.
That'd probably be good.
In case you didn't know, the Daleks are back. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Michael, that was just cruel.
I know.
I'm going to have to bleep that one over, I think.
Okay, well, you have a good time. So the Daleks are back. They're in the sphere. Okay, now that I've ruined the whole season finale for everyone, how long did it take? 4 minutes and 51 seconds for me to ruin the whole season.
This is cruel.
Hey, I've seen it. I don't give a crap about the rest of you people.
Ah, well.
So here we are, we're on Parallel Earth, and it's still alive, and hasn't been in... There's no Primords around. I'm very disappointed.
Well, maybe it's a different Parallel Earth.
Oh, wait, there are other ones?
Parallel Earth.
Yeah, well, okay.
Parallel, new Earth. With Zeppelins!
Well, you know.
For no other reason than that Zeppelins are cool.
What is it? It is a nice visual effect.
It's a nice visual effect, and look, Big Ben has, like, a square face. But, no one ever explains why there are Zeppelins.
Because it's cheaper that way?
Oh, and by the way, I hate Mickey's little speech here. It's like, because it's like a parallel universe, but it's different. It's like, am I right? Which they used in every trailer, and it makes it sound like he can't get whole sentences out, and it's really horrible. Which is too bad, because overall I thought Mickey kind of grew as a character over the last couple episodes. And
okay, here's... This will shock any of you who listened to season one and remember listening to me talk about season one.
Yeah?
I was very much at the point of, please don't let Mickey go in the TARDIS. Let when I heard the news last year.
I seem to recall that.
Yes. And actually, when he left the TARDIS crew this year, I was kind of disappointed that he was gone, because he'd actually been interesting and decent and well-written. And notice that all the episodes this year for him were not written by a certain person. Oh, I'm sorry. All the significant ones.
Well, true. Although I honestly am... here's my admission for the year. Russell T. Davies, only one of his episodes really annoyed me this year. All the others I pretty much liked. That's disturbing.
Well, he didn't write as many this year, did he?
No, but he wrote several, and I liked all of them except one.
Oh, and here we go with Pete.
Now, intriguingly, he didn't write this one, which... You know...
This one feels like one of his.
Here's the thing. This isn't, like, total crap or anything. Yeah. It's just... You expect a lot out of this episode, because the Cybermen are back, and I think everyone was thinking this is going to be the new Dalek. You know, like last year, with Rob's episode.
Yeah.
And it's just not. And there's a few reasons why.
Well, it's two parts.
That's one. But part of it is I think they focus a little too much on the whole parallel everyone. I think, actually, the problems with it will become a bit more apparent in the second episode, even though I think the second episode is slightly better. But we'll talk about that. Anyway, here we have Pete and Jackie, alternate Pete and alternate Jackie, shall I say, with their really strange-looking ear pods that I just can't see everyone getting up and putting in their ears every morning.
Maybe they just don't ever take them out. Maybe they sleep with them when...
Pete appears to be wearing the doctor's tie from the girl in the fireplace, and...
Well, they had to save money on the budget somewhere.
This is the first of two uses of the Rose the Dog joke.
It was funny the first time. I thought it was kind of funny. Rose is the dog.
Mm-hmm.
This was at the point in the season, which I'm not sure if they kind of... having seen the whole season, I don't want to give too much more away.
Right.
Than I already have.
Right. Well, no, you haven't, because I've bleeped over it by the time people listen.
So anyway, the Daleks are back. Anyway, you're going to have so much fun with this commentary.
Why do you keep doing this to me?
I have no life.
Thanks a lot.
Anyway, I really felt like part of the theme of the early half of season 2 or season 28 or whatever the hell it is, this collection of 14 episodes,
okay,
was about the consequences of traveling through space and time with the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And this one kind of went to kind of reinforce it.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, oh look, you know, Rose apparently wants this perfect life, like we all do.
Yep.
Here's a world where it's almost virtually perfect, but it's perfect because her parents don't have her.
Right.
So, you know, this is almost like a be careful what you wish for kind of thing.
Yes. Because
the Cybermen are there and will suck your soul.
Well, one thing I'll add to that is that there seemed to be a theme to me in the early episodes. And again, really the early episodes. Only, really up through the Age of Steel.
Yeah.
And then, again, at the very end of the series. Yeah. But, or season, or whatever.
Yeah.
A theme of evolution and change.
Yeah.
And not always... You know, in New Earth, there's a lot made of the fact that the Doctor has changed.
Yeah.
And in School Reunion, Sarah Jane has to move on.
Yeah.
Kanan gets replaced. The Krillitanes evolve to keep living. And,
See, that's kind of cool. She kind of looks like a Cyberman with that thing on.
I think it looks really dopey.
Oh, well, I thought it looked kind of cool.
Okay.
He's taking over Jackie's mind. That really doesn't take much effort.
No, it doesn't. And here it's sort of the ultimate expression. The Cybermen, alive. Although, honestly, I think the original concept for the original Cybermen would have worked a little better than what we get here, but I'll talk about more of that later. Anyway, there is a theme of change and needing to move on.
Yeah.
And the one thing Rose is just absolutely incapable of doing is moving on. And that will eventually come back to kind of bite her in the very final episodes.
Which we won't talk about.
Please don't. I don't want to have to come
over
anymore.
So, in the end, Billy Piper dances the Macarena. It was very intriguing. Okay, I'm sorry. Here's one of my first points about this, where this seems... I'll just go ahead and say it. I think this is about 1.5 episodes of story padded to 2.
Yeah?
This might have been one good compact episode.
Yeah.
Or maybe if they had extended to, like, a solid hour like the Christmas Invasion.
Yeah.
Because the TARDIS dying here is significant for this one episode, but this dilemma is solved by the end of this episode. So there's no... The only thing that we're just waiting around for it to regenerate itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand, of course, you know, he's the Doctor. He'll have to rescue Parallel Earth from the Cybermen. Because that's the Doctor. That's what he does.
Yep.
But beyond that, there's not a stake in it. I mean, what stake does he have? He doesn't... You know, because he can leave.
Yeah.
Let the Cybermen do their thing. In fact, you know, based on what happens in the season finale, maybe it'd be better if he had left and not let them know there are other universes they can come and...
Right.
But the whole TARDIS dying thing seems like it was like, oh, that's a good idea, and then it turns into such a non-event.
Yeah, well, it struck me when I saw it as a Hartnell-style way to keep the story going, and then it just kind of falls flat.
Yeah.
There's a few ways in which they seem to set up stuff, and then it just doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Another good example is Mickey's grandmother here in a few minutes, which is actually probably my favorite part of this episode, but has almost no bearing on the rest of it.
Well, it's not even like it really plays that much of a... You would think it would play a factor in why Mickey decides to stay.
Well, he says it does, and then about 2 sentences later... Well, not 2 sentences, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
2 minutes later says, oh, there's Cybermen in Paris. Let's go hunt them down. Which, it doesn't quite work. But, you know...
I don't really violently hate these episodes.
Well, neither do I. They're actually... The two episodes I really... don't particularly ever want to watch again anytime soon are New Earth and Fear Her. Particularly Fear Her.
Well, that's another one that was maybe 15 minutes of concept stretched to 45 minutes.
Sure. These aren't terrible. I just think they are misguided in what they're trying to do. And they're trying to do it for too long.
Yeah.
It's too little, too long.
See, here, 13 minutes in, they've already solved the problem of the TARDIS.
Yeah. And... there's a lot of continuity. I mean, like, old series continuity working its way into this one. And I just don't think it all works. I mean, the International Electromagnetics thing is like this big name check to the Invasion. This one episode, so wants to be the Invasion, and it's not. John Lumick is nothing like Tobias Vaughn. Everyone kept comparing him to Tobias Vaughn, and Tobias Vaughn was, you know, subtle.
Well-acted.
And understated. Lumick is not. And there's no reason why this needs to be named International Electromagnetics, except as some little bizarre tip to the hat. Tip of the hat.
Well, you know,
the one acting job I will credit, actually, here is Colin Spall, who is playing, I almost said Packer. That is the Invasion.
Well, he is the Toady assistant.
Well, yeah, Lumick's Toady assistant, who previously appeared in Revelation of the Daleks.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Graham Harper, who was...
Now, see, they taped this. Does this come back? I can't remember. Does this come back into play? You know...
No.
The videotape. You know, why tape them taking these people away?
I think they're using it as evidence. They bring it up, but they never... There's a lot of things that happen in these where you're supposed to just kind of go along with it, and they maybe mention it later, but you never see anything done.
Well, they've obviously never met me. I never let anything go.
This is a very odd bit here. The Doctor blows on a crystal and he gives 10 years of his life away? okay.
It's amazing the powers the Doctor has come up with this season that have come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like the fight in hand.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Weren't you happy to be reminded of that?
It's like the one part of Christmas Invasion that I really just really, really couldn't deal with.
And it's a fighting hand!
It's a fighting hand! There we go.
Oh. Yeehaw! Get them Duke boys in the car, let's go jump wherever.
And if when we record the Christmas Invasion commentary, you will probably hear more of that, or have heard more of that, or...
Oh, maybe they've gone back and they're like, well, let's listen to it in recording order.
Yeah. Shut up, Michael.
Because God knows no one else has anything to do. We're lonely. We're so lonely.
You can find us on Yahoo Personals.
Shut up. I so don't want... Okay. Yeah. Please don't just send me an icebreaker. I don't respond.
Do you not respond to icebreakers?
Depends on who it is.
Okay, fair enough.
If they've actually gone down the list and selected one that's not just the top one, then I'll think about it.
Most of them are so cheesy, though.
I've read every word of your profile. Tell me more.
That's actually one of the less cheesy ones.
Yeah, but it's kind of stalkery. What the hell are we talking about this for? Doctor Who!
Yeah. So, Billy Piper is kind of cute here.
So, Billy, if you see my personal and you're thinking, hey, I'm divorced now.
Well, mine.
And rich.
I've never been divorced. I've never been married.
No, I'm saying Billy is divorced now. Well, she was married to what's his name, wasn't she?
Okay, just pretend I didn't say anything.
I don't care. Who's going to listen to this who really knows me is going to go, oh, let's figure out details about Michael's life from the commentaries. If you're sitting down and, like, making notes on our lives, go outside.
But yes, Billy is...
Now, here's the TARDIS crew, kind of. This is almost like a Davison-era TARDIS crew. I'm going this way.
I'm going that way.
Yeah. And Davison, but unlike Davison, Tennant's actually yelling at people.
Yeah, he doesn't just get all worked up like Davison did. Although there are certain comparisons to be made between Davison and Tennant's doctors. Mostly they're both too young.
So what if he left Mickey behind? What if he unintentionally had left Mickey behind?
I don't know. Some fan somewhere would have been unhappy.
I could name names. No, let's not. We want to keep what little standing we have in the Who fan community.
That'd be good. That'd be real good. And here comes,
Pete.
No, not Pete. The president, who is played by... Oh, dear, I've forgotten his name. Anyway, quite a... He's been many things. Well-known actor in Britain.
This episode is a lot more slow-moving than I remember.
It is. Again. Oh, he was Rassilon in the Big Finish audios, for one thing. But he's, He does have a name, so forgive me.
So, well,
nice, well-known actor.
Yeah, because I'm sure he's listening to it going. I'm sure all the Doctor Who people are running, going, yeah. A new commentary by those two? Yay! I hope they mention me.
No, they're going, yay, they're going, hooray!
Oh, God, they've got to really stop putting Russell T. Davies and Phil Collinson and...
It's really the two of them together.
They kind of feed off each other. A little bit like us.
Yeah, well, it's not that they don't have interesting things to say, too. It's just the beginning where they introduce themselves and they go, oh, hooray. That always makes me
laugh. Hooray, and welcome. Well, I'm going to start off our next commentary with hooray.
I think me too.
All right. I forgot. I was actually going to do that for this one, but I forgot.
Well, we'll do it on part two. It'll be special.
It gives something to look forward to. Whether you're listening this in a couple of days, or you have to wait a week because we're posting this to newly designed Two Insane Fans.
Yes, if you are listening to this on the intraweb, it is probably the debut commentary of Two Insane Fans 2.0, as lovingly designed by Matt Dale.
He did a damn good job.
He did do a damn good job.
We didn't pay him a penny.
We didn't.
I almost feel guilty.
Oh.
Notice how I said almost there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
here's Mickey wandering around.
Yeah, this really is a very slowly paced episode.
Well, and I just wondered...
Which is interesting, because the next one is almost breakneck.
You know, last year... Well, first of all, we knew the Cybermen were in it. Even if you didn't see the preview.
We did.
The title gives it away.
Well, no, actually, even if you didn't see the preview, I mean, they were...
Yeah.
So anticipated. I think even more than the Daleks were.
Well, that's because they could do more with the redesign.
Yeah, that's true.
Interestingly enough, I do find it interesting that on his commentary, Graham Harper said he wished he could have kept the design a little more secret than having it leaked to the press.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, in this day and age, I'm not sure you can keep anything a secret anymore.
They managed to keep a fair bit of the finale a secret, to be honest.
Yeah, well, they just
didn't... the actual finale. Yeah,
They need to stop letting... If you want to have certain parts be secret, you need to not let the public on the set. Isn't that how it happened? It was, you know, public went on set and saw certain things that tipped them off that, hey, this
is
coming.
Not the set, location, because they had some location work. But...
Which I thought for a while, that was all just a red herring.
I knew it wasn't. But anyway, we're talking about Rise of the Cybermen right now.
Yes. Now, what was it? No, it wasn't... It's always one of the... Oh, maybe it was the guys over at the Behind the Sofa.
Yeah, isn't this one of them?
This is like one of their friends or something.
Yeah.
I think this guy right here.
This guy, right here, yep. Who blinks.
But, yeah, they do some interesting commentaries over there. So, hi, guys.
Hi, fellas.
I know they're like, ooh, we're mentioned.
Your friend blinked.
Yeah. Here's a tenant with the glasses.
I think it's a nice touch.
It's interesting.
I thought it was a nice touch with Davison, too. I should have done more with it, but... Weird fake laughter.
Yeah.
From everyone.
And then they all move on.
He's in the second one, too, briefly.
Oh, I must have missed that. I must have blinked and missed
it. You can notice, I think, several of these same extras in the second one, briefly. London's apparently very small in the parallel world.
There's only 12, 13 people in it. This was the old days. There'd only be 5. Well, let me just state, since we've done our commentaries last year, I read this book that says Doctor Who fans can't like episodes for 10 years, so I hate every episode ever made for the last
for
10 years.
For 10 years, we can't like them.
Yes, then we'll decide they're all classics and love them.
Damn, that means I'm going to have to go back on most of season 2, huh?
Yeah, see? I hate this episode. I hate it. I can't like it.
I hate all of them, even those ones I really enjoy.
I hate Dalek. Oh, I can't say that.
It's pretty hard to say that.
Yeah. Oh, look, we're going to start sucking up to Rob Sherman again. He's going to be embarrassed by this commentary.
It's really bad.
It's really sad that we're kissing up to him on somebody else's episode.
But it does also kind of reflect the quality of the episode. Anyway, this is pretty bad because in her glasses, it's a nice scene. I think it's a great scene. But you can see the filming crew in her glasses in just about every shot.
Well, that's what makes it Doctor Who.
There's an astonishing number of little errors in this one. Later you can see Mickey's double really, really, really easily. In sort of a Terry Walsh style cameo.
You know, okay, here's the thing. Here's another point. I liked Graham Harper in the 80s.
Yeah, me too. In fact, I made a point. He directed these two episodes and the final two episodes.
Yeah.
And before the finale, the very last episode, I made a point of watching my newly purchased Revelation of the Daleks DVD because although I've seen Androzani about 10 trillion billion times, his direction in the finale is quite good, largely based on the action he does.
Yeah.
Overall, I'm not finding his direction quite as inspired as it was back then.
It's not as unique here.
Yeah. I have noticed while we've been talking a couple of interesting, like, high angle shots looking down on Mickey and the Doctor and the TARDIS and so on. But
Caves and Resurrection just feel so different. And I just wonder if it's because the new series.
Yes.
It's almost like they've adopted that style.
I'm not sure, because I think Eros Lynn, I think it's Eros Lynn, who did 4 episodes this year, has a very unique style. Idiot's Lantern and Girl in the Fireplace, and Tooth and Claw all have very unique feels to them. Fear Her is kind of the exception. It's sort of just the Idiot's Lantern redux.
Well, I'm not sure what you could have really done with that.
I'm not sure either.
Except hire a better child actress.
But I mean, they're all... definitely different looking episodes.
Yeah.
Eros Lynn lights the TARDIS differently, much more golden. So I think they are allowed a certain leeway. So I'm... Harper suggests in the Final Confidential that he just kind of let the actors act.
Yeah.
At least in the finale. And I wonder if that was kind of just his theory in all of these. I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure what happened. I was certainly expecting more.
Well, you know... He did a lot with very little money back in, especially with Caves. I mean, he did a lot with less. But that was also, you know, he's doing more location here.
Yeah.
Caves, he was able to control everything because it was mostly all studio.
That's true.
You know, so, I mean, most of the atmosphere of caves comes from his direction.
That's
But there's no, like, there's nothing to me in this episode or the next one that stands out, like some of the shots in Cave, like the one where Morgus is on one half and it fades out and Jack's face, the crossfade. Hmm? There's nothing that's just that striking.
And Androzani is almost entirely crossfades, too.
You know. You know, this one doesn't seem as stylish.
No. There are a few shots scattered over four episodes that are stylish, but they're a little far and few between.
Why is he breathing? What is in that thing?
Well, I assume it's some sort of oxygen assist.
It's his Dalek air, so he can become Davros.
Well, no, I assume something's wrong with his lungs.
Okay.
He needs to, you know, much as people...
Yeah, I just...
I mean, he is in, like, a life support wheelchair thing. Why, I'm not sure.
It's never really explained why he's in the wheelchair.
Well, it's not... I mean, I understand the basic thought. Yeah. He's dying, blah, blah, blah. Probably has some sort of deteriorating condition, because he kind of talks like that. Not...
Yeah.
I mean, he talks like he's going to continuously deteriorate. It's just so unsubtle. I mean, it's the Davros thing all over again.
Well, and...
I just found it so much more affecting when the whole mythos behind the Cybermen was that, you know, everyone was slowly but surely replacing themselves with parts to be stronger and better and faster than ever before.
Well, this is a parallel Earth.
It's not the same Cybermen, obviously. Yeah. I just thought that was such a scarier concept than... And this is something I point out after this episode broadcast. It's a much scarier idea when a whole world or a whole nation decides to... Not do something out of, let's have some monsters, but just trying to save themselves.
Yeah.
As opposed to one man making a strike for immortality. Because that's just sort of, it's just been done so many times.
Well.
It's the Daleks again.
And then, you know, interestingly enough, he goes through all this to, I would assume, you know, he wanted a whole new cyber body.
Yes.
And then the second episode, he's still in the wheelchair. Kind of. I mean, he's still in the chair.
Yeah.
That didn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean...
Well, he does get up out of it.
You know, yeah. But you would have thought... You know, if he's going to all this trouble to replace himself, he would want a young, active Cyberman body.
I don't know.
Maybe he just wants to sit around and watch TV all day.
I don't know. It's weird. There's a whole element to these two episodes that make the Cybermen into much more of what the Daleks were in the old days, which is sort of pseudo-Nazis.
Yeah.
Aryan race, ethnic cleansing kind of thing. We're going to upgrade you.
Yeah.
It's not a terrible idea, but it doesn't really represent the Cybermen as I recall them. What made the Cybermen so scary to me as a child, and as somebody who'd, you know, been in hospitals a lot and that sort of thing, was the idea that these were not people who were trying to... They weren't just the Borg, where they were trying to be the most ultimate thing ever.
Yeah.
They were just surviving. And they were trying to reproduce however they could. And to reproduce, they had to take you over.
And why did they pick In the Jungle, the Mighty Jungle, for this scene?
I assume because... Isn't it a tip of the hat to Reservoir Dogs?
I don't know. I haven't seen Reservoir Dogs.
Neither have I. Someone else told me that.
I thought maybe they just had the rights to it on clearance.
Maybe.
They had to cut the budget somewhere.
Yeah, tight fit probably doesn't have a very big, you know, required fee. God, that took ages for me to get out.
Well, you know, they had to cut money here and then Love and Monsters.
Yeah, ELO is apparently very cheap to get. Although I think that worked really well for Love and Monsters.
And now it's Duplicate Mickey!
Oh, Ricky!
Hey, Ricky, you're so fun!
You're so fun, you blew my mind. Ricky? Hey, Ricky.
Lucy, you got some splaining to do. I'm sorry.
I forgot that.
Yeah, well, I forgot the
parody.
And now Rose goes to her house to see her dad, because this is going to turn out well.
Now, here's the thing. Rose, without giving anything away... Please, Michael, don't give anything away.
Yes. Why would I give anything away?
Because you like to do that just to...
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm a bastard.
Rose really just doesn't have so much to do this year as she did last year. That's one of the few things that I didn't quite go for. She doesn't have the chemistry with Tennant that she did with Eccleston.
Oh, she's too busy sulking around. And you almost get the feeling that after the girl in the fireplace in the school reunion, where she met the ex-wife, you know, quote-unquote the ex-wife, and then the doctor meets a girlfriend.
Right.
It's almost like, emotionally, she's withdrawn a little bit.
That's true.
Put some space in between them.
Well, even these episodes, which are ostensibly about her, because they're about her family, she just doesn't feel nearly as central as she did all of last year.
And God knows we need to see more of Jackie Tyler.
Well, I actually think Jackie got better right at the end of the year before she was about to go. Very strange.
Well, you know.
Kind of the same with Mickey. But, no, there's actually fairly few episodes this year. New Earth, Tooth and Claw, Idiot's Lantern for a little bit, and, like, the finale where Rose feels central at all. I guess the Satan Pit. But they're kind of far and few between as opposed to last year where she was the focus of every single episode.
Well, maybe they were setting it up for what happens at the end of the season.
Maybe so. I just think it's a really dramatic shift from, you know, what I was calling the Rose Show last year to...
Well, at least this year, for the most part, the Doctor is actually actively the one who defeats every menace.
But
except for... Which one was it where I wasn't as... I'm trying to think.
The Satan Pit?
I guess that was
He doesn't really save the day in the Satan Pit, or fear her.
Fear her, that was a concept I didn't quite understand. I think fear her's only concept was, someone was sitting there going, you know what would be cool if the Doctor lit the Olympic torch, and then they built an episode around it.
Yeah.
And it was as crappy as possible.
But she is very quickly... Let's put it this way. Rose works when she's the focus of attention.
Yeah.
She does not work as generic companion, I don't think.
Yeah.
And although I was glad that she wasn't the focus of every single episode, it did kind of point out the fact that, gee, really doesn't work so well when she's just second banana.
Yeah. Maybe that's why what leads to what happens at the end of the year.
Maybe.
Which I won't spoil.
Please don't.
Because then you'd have to beep it out again.
Yeah.
Now this is kind of interesting.
The marching thing works pretty well, except for one bit in Age of Steel where they march in place. And
this must have been hard as hell to get coordinated.
Choreographed, yeah.
You know, because I can't imagine that you have much peripheral vision in the cyber suit.
No, apparently you don't. Blue Peter did a whole featurette on it.
I missed that one.
And I've got it. You can see it.
How would that happen? You're not in England.
The Pixies.
So your TARDIS brought it over?
From the parallel world,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, good.
But they show that you really can't see much of anything under those suits. So, ooh, gratuitous...
Mickey nudity. For those of you who are interested in that sort of thing.
And Mickey's ripped!
Well, you know.
I just had to say it.
Well, Rose was gone. He had to work out.
Yeah.
You know, to impress what's-her-name from down at the shop. Trisha McMillan.
Was it Trisha?
Yeah, I think it was Trisha McMillan. No, Trisha McMillan was from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes. But I still think her name might have been Trisha or something similar.
Poor old Mickey.
He has a tattoo.
You know, if it hadn't been that Mickey was okay. He did a... Noel Clark does a pretty good job. Though right here, he's not nearly doing well as Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky...
His facial expressions are a little... You know, like, Ricky's a little too angry.
So who the hell are you? Sort of thing, yeah.
You know. I mean, look at this glare.
It is indeed a mighty glare.
You know. And he's walking around himself.
Yes, he is.
Which, you know, I wonder how long this took to film.
That's like one of those 3D tricks.
Yeah.
If you need to show off that something's 3D, you have somebody walk in front of somebody else. This is... Look! They're not just split screen.
Thank you, Graham Harper. Thank you. Whoops.
And there comes my screensaver. That
picture went away. And suddenly it got better. Oh, I'm sorry.
Whole episode improved. Immeasurably. Here's Jake, who is... Andrew Hayden Smith.
Yes.
I can remember everybody's name except the president. For some
reason. I like this character. I can't remember her name.
Mrs. Moore?
Yes. I like, well, maybe we'll get to that next episode if we remember
it. Yeah, that's
it.
A good one.
I like She was actually a pretty decent character from this universe.
Oh yeah, there's lots of interesting ideas in these episodes. I just don't think any of them quite gel out the way... pan out.
I still think they need another script. I don't know who's the script editor on the show.
There's two of them.
Well.
And one of them was replaced from last year.
I think...
Well, maybe not replaced, but the other one chose to move on, shall we say.
Okay. To go on to other things in their career.
Well, yeah. I think they went to a different show.
Just like Phil Collinson's taking a little bit of a break.
That's right. We're getting a new co-producer.
So I wonder if that will mean we'll get if he's got another job and they're just being nice about it.
No, because he's only taking a few weeks off.
Okay. So we can get ready for The Runaway Bride.
Well, I actually think it's mid-season when he's taking a few weeks off. But, again, with the whole things are dark, so we need a whole blue color wash thing, which they do a lot in the new series, which I just don't ever quite buy. That everything is always, you know, green or blue.
Yeah.
I mean, lighting just isn't usually that intensely.
It's setting
extreme.
The mood. It's making us interested in the plight of the Doctor.
I guess.
And we're still waiting for the Cybermen to show up. Basically,
and
at this point.
I do like the way that Graham Harper does keep them, you know, you don't see their faces.
Yeah.
And you can see them out of focus or in the shadow or whatever. It's a little bit destroyed by the fact that they were so heavily trailered.
Oh, yeah. Well, the BBC didn't really have any choice. I mean, I think one of the tabloids was going to publish
the
photo.
Well, they were on the freaking Radio Times and everything.
Yeah.
But, so it's a bit sad in that regard. But, but it is a nice trick. It's a nice effect. It is, actually, the way he shoots the Cybermen is, I think, the one great directorial thing he does in this episode.
Which is interesting. He shot the Daleks before. In the original series.
Now he gets to do the Cybermen.
So does this mean when they bring back the Macra, he'll get to shoot them too? Well, I don't know. I didn't want to actually give away that the villain I've heard is coming back for season 3.
I've heard actually two different villains who might come back from season 3. And I've heard an interview with Phil Collinson where he says there will be no old monsters in season 3. So we'll just have to see. But
so they're not bringing back the Zarbi? Damn it!
Yeah.
That sequel, The Web Planet, is doomed.
The lair of Zarbi Supremo.
Zarbi Supremo, that's a pretty good pizza.
Do you get the little larva grub on that?
That's extra.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I do know Graham Harper is almost certainly going to be asked back.
Well, of course.
So,
he delivered on time and under budget, maybe. Or on budget.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what he does. I'd love to see him do a futuristic story as opposed to...
Are they going
to
budget for 14 episodes this year, or are they going to make them do 14 for the parts of 13 like they did last year?
I don't know.
I think the BBC needs to step up and budget them for 14.
Yeah. Well, I think actually what they budgeted for them this year was 13 and a bit.
Oh. Which I guess Christmas Invasion really ran over in the cash money.
Yeah. Because I know they had...
Which one did they talk about on one of the commentaries where they were like basically like... re-editing it and refilming stuff like until like almost it aired.
Oh,
late in the block. Maybe it was Tooth and Claw.
I don't remember.
There was one where they talked about being in particularly maybe it was New Earth. They were particularly rushed to get it done by the end of the block.
I think it was New Earth, actually.
Because it was the last one in the block.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows with New Earth.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. School Reunion has some very strange editing. But that would have been the same block.
But we love School Reunion.
We do love School Reunion.
It's good stuff.
Maybe my favorite of the year, but I've already said that, so.
I guess I could go through my top 10 list and you could swear at me.
Oh, God.
No, let's not do that again this year.
Well, I'm sure it's changed, you know, I mean.
No, there's nothing this season that cracked the top 10, I don't think.
Well, I'm sure it's changed anyway. Don't you change every couple months?
Well, it has been a couple of months. This is compelling listening.
It really is.
We're not really talking about anything going on screen.
Well, I said before in the Dalek commentary that the Cybermen are my favorite villains. So perhaps that's why I'm so disappointed with these two episodes, is I do feel they changed. Why the Cybermen exist, I mean, their whole rationale for existing.
And here they come.
And that kind of bugs me a bit. And maybe wouldn't so much if I wasn't so into them.
we getting ready for the reveal?
I think we are.
We've waited 40 minutes.
Actually, slightly over 40 minutes now, yeah. I believe.
You do spend a lot of time in a kind of a holding pattern, waiting for them to do what they're doing right now, which is start running amok and taking names.
Now, you realize this is essentially the Dalek technique of the 70s and 80s.
Oh, you know,
Rise of the Cybermen, you're just sitting around waiting for those Cybermen to show up. It's really long now, because they're 45-minute episodes.
Yeah.
And I believe this is the longest episode of the season, except for Doomsday. Because there's no trailer on this one, because it ran over.
Oh, I thought they were just trying to keep the secrets.
No, the other two parters have trailers at the end, but
yeah.
That's a nice shot. These Cybermen bursting in shots, very good. So, yeah, Graham Harper still has his moments.
Yeah.
It just wasn't as incredibly, amazingly impressive as I'd expected.
And maybe that's because we expected it to be incredibly, amazingly impressive.
Perhaps so. Still would like to see him do an Alien Planet one.
I'd like to see him go to more than one Alien Planet a year.
That'd be good.
And not just an Alien Planet that happens to be a spaceship.
That'd also be good.
but since Russell's not listening to these, he's not taking what we think into consideration.
That's true.
Maybe if I was Ian Levine, he'd listen to me.
I don't think so. I don't think he's listening to Ian Levine.
And that's probably for good.
That probably is good. I do like the amount of historicals they've had this year. I say for no reason. But I just generally like historical stories. I think they're a nice addition to the mix.
Well, there's like so many times you go to the future. And you have to make up a future continuity.
This is an interesting comment from the Doctor. It kind of precludes next week. So why do they take their emotions if the cyber processing hurts?
Or both.
Yeah, that kind of gets explained. I actually really do like the new design for the Cybermen.
Is there a cyber leader in this one?
No.
Okay, because there is...
Later. I really like the design. As Ian would say, the pant cuffs and the shoes are a little Tin Man.
Wow.
But overall, the design is nice. The voices are an interesting choice.
Until the 80s, the Cybermen voices were never the same from story to story anyway.
Well, and this is essentially the voice of the Cyber Planner from The Invasion.
Yeah. Only easier to understand.
Easier to understand, but still not easy.
I guess we'll see what happens when the Invasion comes out on DVD. Will they be able to do anything to make it a little
more...
Well,
they were able to do some stuff to Tomb of the Cybermen, so I assume... But these are still not perfect voices. I really think they maybe should have come up with something new, but...
So I wonder which of these guys was from the Podshock, the guy who was interviewed on Podshock who gets killed. Don't you remember that?
Well, you see, I stopped listening to Podshock a
while back. Oh, well, they interviewed him twice.
Mainly because I only have so many hours in the day.
Yeah, we don't have 3 hours a week, guys.
Sorry, fellas.
And here come more Cybermen!
I mean, I know you all do good work, and you have fun, and I've occasionally listened to one that I've really enjoyed, but it's been harder since they've gotten longer.
Yeah.
So here come the Cybermen. I do like this, like, way they've combined the Wheel in Space.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Wheel in Space and pre-Wheel in Space electricity.
Yeah.
Thing the Cybermen did, and the Massage of Death.
Do they from have Revenge of the Cybermen? I can't remember. Do they have the arm guns in this one?
No. The guns
that... Interesting.
You having fun to spoil the rest of the season?
At the end of the season, the Doctor dances the Lambada.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think saying that they have the arm guns spoils anything, because, you know, everybody knew going into the season that the pattern has become that whatever monster appears in episode 6 is coming back for the season finale.
Okay. Sounds fun.
And I could say something again, and you'd have to beep it out again.
At this point, I'm just thinking, why bother?
So the Daleks come back, and they're in the sphere. We should include that as our text quote for this. So, wait, look! We've gone how many minutes into the season? And you know what I haven't done yet?
Yeah, I know.
Should I wait for the next commentary?
Yeah, I think you should, because I want to point out something here.
Okay, good.
Anyway, look, here, we're going to have Mickey's double in a minute.
Oh, look, he's doing his crazy face.
Look, wait, yep, here we go. Right here. You'll see his face. And there!
Wow.
It's so obviously not Mickey. It's hilarious.
No, I like this. We surrender. This is actually... Okay, here's a point I'll try to make quickly.
Uh-huh.
Have you noticed there's only two cliffhangers for the series? for really? The series. The Doctor's being Doctor and somebody is being stalked by something.
Uh-huh.
Or the Daleks have come out.
Interesting.
Think good about point. It. Think about
that's a good
cliffhangers.
Point, yeah.
I'm just giving away the season finale again. But I'm just saying, there's only two cliffhangers.
Maximum deletion. It's like the worst line in the whole season. Delete.
You know, if they just do it, not just stand there talking about it, they'd be a lot more effective villains. I'm just saying, there's only two cliffhangers. And maybe Russell would want to get a new one. I mean, even the
that's
one in the
point,
future,
though.
The Ood. I mean, okay, let's look at this year's cliffhangers.
Cybermen?
This one, the Ood stalking, and then the cliffhanger for
interesting.
Last year, the Slovene stalk doing something, stalking up on the Doctor.
Yeah.
The empty, people
empty
with the
child
yeah.
surrounded, yeah.
And then the Daleks coming out. So they only have two cliffhangers.
Wow.
So I think it's time for them to write a new one.
I think so.
Look, I made an interesting point.
And I went silent for a moment. They're just thinking about it.
It was it was an intelligent, interesting point.
Well, join us for the Age of Steel.
Yes, it will be almost as exciting as this one.
If you dare.
Cybermen are back.